Hello there. Thanks for popping in and eavesdropping on one of my phone calls. Today, I'm going to call Chef Mary Locke. She's the corporate chef with Nestle Professional Division. Just a fantastic person. She is a highly qualified and experienced chef. She's incredibly approachable, though she is full of knowledge and everyone holds her in high regard. You can certainly just go up and have a casual conversation with her about anything. She is an engaging and entertaining public speaker, and I think she really understands the emotional and personal attachments we place on food. Let's give Mary a call and see what she's got today.
Hello.
Hey, Chef Mary, how you doing? It's John from DM&A.
Hey, good morning, John. How are you?
Yeah, well, how are we all, I guess, is what we can ask. I'm doing great, though, actually. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Kentucky, and just calling to check in on some folks I haven't spoken to in a little bit. How are things your way?
I'll give it a fair. I mean, we're getting through it, getting a little quarantine exhaustion just like everyone else, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the world is an entirely different place.
Yeah, it really is. Before I get too far in our conversation today, I wanted to thank you again for letting me speak to your team and tell them a little bit about us and what we're doing. It was extremely helpful for me because, like I said at the time, I'm a talker and I haven't really had many opportunities to talk a lot as like I usually do. So I really enjoyed it. So thank you for that.
You know what, John, I think it was great for all of us because we got to share your insights and your intimacy with the customer too, that sometimes, we do the same thing as chefs. We
yeah.
get on that level in the customers, but just to share your perspective from it too, I think was helpful for all of us. So thank you.
No, anytime. So I was impressed. It seemed like you guys have been staying diligent and trying to get ahead of, what's coming next. So what exactly are some of the fun things are happening over there at Nestle?
Well, we're trying to be supportive. It's not about the sale. It's not about, what's in it for us. It's what's in it for the customer. I mean, we are an enormous organization and with tremendous amount of resources. We are trying to be that resource. We, I personally, working with some of my larger groups, have had some calls to say, hey, listen, what can we do? What's your pain points? What is it we can either help you with, show you how to do, give you advice on, that kind of thing? Because, we are so diverse and we have so many resources. And if you're thinking about it, it's very possible that one of us has done it, especially my team, being 12 of us, and then all the other national accounts team, the grocery chain team, all that kind of stuff. If it's been done, we've probably done it, and we can just reach out in a heartbeat to get some information to help. So,
yeah, that's true. Nestle is gigantic. I don't really think of it that way because I associate it with the name Nestle, with products like Nestle Crunch Bar, of course, candy bars. And here in Kentucky, we have down the road in the next town over, we have a facility that makes Hot Pockets, which I'm a significant fan of. So I like that. When I'm eating a Hot Pocket, I'm eating local. So I love
nice. Nice.
but I also tend to associate Nestle with people. Like, when I think of Nestle, I think of you and Diane and the people that I know there. But you guys really are ginormous, and that's a great point that there is probably nothing that you guys can't help with in terms of what a healthcare kitchen might need or a chef out there might need.
Right. And I think that you said it, it's the people and the people that have relationships. I mean, there's just so many webs off of each one of those that if I don't know it, somebody I know knows it or is in, has a relationship with someone that can help, that kind of thing. So we lean on each other for that a lot. And
I think that's how it is in food service in general.
Sure.
I know that there's a lot of chefs that go down the road of culinary school and intense culinary training. but it really is just learning from each other. I learned most of what I know in kitchens from working with other great people, not even necessarily chefs. I worked with a number of really, you know, good chefs, restaurant owners, you know, directors, but I really gleaned most of my knowledge just by doing and by being next to people that really knew what they were doing because they had learned from someone else. So it, sure. it really is that feel. And yeah, I'm never ashamed to say, I don't know, but I know a lot of people that will know. So.
Right. So exactly.
What was your journey like to becoming a chef? I mean, how does one land as an executive corporate chef for a company like Nestle?
Oh, geez. I'm going to say I took the long, hard road. I did not watch a few shows on the Food Network and run off to culinary school, that's for sure. I actually, when I was 17, my sister got me a job in a nightclub that had a restaurant attached to it, and because I like to cook at home. And I started working there knowing absolutely nothing about a commercial kitchen.
Yes.
And then being able to, you know, learn and grow from all the people I worked with over the years. And then I went to a food service management company and was fortunate enough to go through the ranks of that company and learn a ton as far as culinary and management. I was an ops director, district manager, regional chef, that kind of thing. And honestly, I was in the right place at the right time. I met with some folks who were Nestle folks, and they said, hey, you're going to have to come work for us. And I was all about that.
Yeah.
I did actually get a few certifications from the American Culinary Federation, a CEC and a CCA.
Yeah.
So that that added some credentials to my non-culinary school background. So I think I'm in a pretty comfortable place.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a story that is, I've heard it similar to where, you know, mine, and the right place, right time. I can't stress enough to people, you know, I meet a lot of chefs, a lot of newer chefs in the field, and some of the advice I give them is, you know, there are so many opportunities. It's very easy for us to get kind of bogged down to where we are, you know, now, or be very laser focused on a certain path, but you just never know. You know, I just saw, I've got a friend who, helps hospitality places in Alaska get, employees, you know, he recruits for Alaskan dining and hotels and so forth, because I'm sure it's pretty difficult to get employees there. I don't know what it's going to look like now. There's probably a lot of people looking for a job, but there was this beautiful little town in Alaska, and I was looking at pictures of it online, and you'd be the executive chef at a medium-sized hospital, but you can only get to this location by a seaplane, and it's cool. Just absolutely gorgeous. And I let a couple of chefs that I know that, you know, are looking for opportunities. I'm like, look, man, stuff like this pops up all the time. You know, if you broaden your horizon as a qualified chef who is also can get along with people, that sometimes is difficult to find. No offense to any chefs out there, I put myself in that category well at times in my younger days.
I'm taken.
Right. But you know the vibe. So so if you have people skills along with culinary skills and you're willing and able to travel, I mean, it's you truly can be like a pirate out there, and a lot of opportunities, and you never know when it's going to come from. So that's a great story. Well, I'm certainly glad that you were in the right place and right time. I know Nestle's happy to have you for sure. I know that Nestle has a healthcare, you know, focus and healthcare division, and they have products that are more of the clinical dietary ilk. So do you work much with them hand in hand? I know a lot of your products are geared for, you know, institutional kitchens and so forth. But I just wonder what your thoughts are in terms of how food plays a role in healing. And particularly, I've been reading, you know, there's a great deal of mental healing you know, health that needs to be addressed. And I wonder what are some of your thoughts on how food plays a role in both mental health and, you know, physical health?
Oh, I think food is hugely important in that there's, you know, there's very little, if there's a patient in the hospital, that there's very little they can do. And one of their pleasures is eating. I mean, and I think that's why the majority of chefs and people in the culinary field go into that, is because they want to nurture people. They want to feed them. I mean, that's such a personal thing to feed someone and to put all that care and love and attention into what you're feeding someone. So, and I think being able to nourish someone is very healing. And for that person, you know, just on a quick personal note, I cook for someone that has had a stroke, and I drop them off a meal every Sunday. And for me, it takes thought and care about what I want to feed them. And it just brings them joy, you know, to be able to look forward to that meal. And it is nourishing, and it is the idea to make them stronger and feel better and heal. So, I mean, I think it's in the mental aspect of it is too. I mean, think about how many meals you eat or a certain food that brings you to somewhere else in your life.
Yeah.
You know, I remember eating, you know, home fries that my mom made after church when I was a little girl. And every time I see something like that or smell something like that, it brings me back to that. So, and that's a good, happy feeling. And I think most of us relate food and some feelings around food back to good times and good emotional feelings in their life. So I think it's very intertwined.
Yeah, you know, that phrase comfort food kind of gets a negative connotation sometimes, because you think that stuff that's bad for you that you shouldn't eat, but it's so good because it reminds you of that. And I think that that's not necessarily fair, because I agree with you totally on that. I was at a food show in Ohio, and unexpectedly walked by a booth, and I had the aroma of smoked Polish sausage that I hadn't smelled since I was like 9, living in Chicago, and was at my grandmother's house. And I went over, and the booth, you know, they actually were a small company in Toledo, I think. And they were selling that, and they're family owned. And the guy says, yeah, that's just the recipe is from my Zsa-Zsa. Like, God, Lord, I haven't even heard that term since I was like 9 or 10. So it was a complete food hit memory right there. And it was excellent.
Sure.
Sausage. And I bought some online since then. But you're 100% correct. And, you know, it's so fulfilling. And I think, again, we try to remind the people that are, you know, the newer people in healthcare food service, but sometimes even some of the veterans, you know, you lose sight, like you were talking about earlier, you kind of lose sight of why you do it. But feeding people is a real personal connection, and it can make a huge difference, not just in their physical healing, but the comfort level they have, you know, at their hospital or certainly their senior care place. So that's really true. And I think the people that have recognized that feeling are more successful in their role and therefore, you know, happier. So we should definitely always take care to remind our teams of that.
But absolutely.
Hey, yeah. When you spoke at our Good to Best, you did a great presentation on plant-based. And I know that prior to January or February of this year, when we started here, you know, dealing with COVID, plant-based had been a very hot topic. I think it was already, and you could correct me if you think differently, but I think it moved from trendy into, you know, more than just a trend. Like, we all think it's here to stay. How do we do it better and, you know, work it into every aspect of our menus? Do you think that anything like that has changed? Do you think people will be looking for it as we all try to kind of focus on our health after this?
You know, John, I do think people are going to continue to look for it. The people who have already eat that way, it, you know, that are vegans and vegetarians and, you know, flexitarians, and I think they're going to continue that. But I think people are really looking for health and how they're going to make themselves be or feel healthier. You know, I know a lot of people can't wait to get out to the restaurants. I'm included in that group. But once you go out and get that maybe indulgent restaurant meal, you might start thinking about, hey, should I be incorporating all these plant-based items into my menus? I mean, there's some amazing offerings out there, and that just continues to grow, and people continue to develop recipes around them, Nestle included. And, you know, I think it's here to stay. And, you know, yeah. I, what, 10, 12 years ago, people were saying, gluten-free, that's a phase. Well, look at that.
Right. You know, you're right. Yeah, so, no, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think people want to do what they can to keep themselves healthy, and especially lessons learned that will be post COVID. Hopefully post COVID comes soon. But, you know, learning about keeping yourself healthy, people working out at home, all that kind of stuff. I think they want to get back into the healthier style of plant-based eating and feeling good about themselves.
Yeah, good. I think so too. And I think there'll be opportunities with, you know, an increase in grab and go. My frame of reference is hospital cafes, you know, that leaned pretty heavy on the salad bar. And in my tenure as a director, I saw the salad bar go from, you know, not very, well, not the most popular thing to way the most popular thing. Still never took bacon and chicken tenders down off of the number one or two spot, but sales of that really increased over time. And I think that from what I understand from most directors nationwide is, you know, the popularity of their salad bar was an anchor in their facility. And so now they're going to have to make changes, but it really does lend itself to some creativity and some, you know, just more interest in plant-based grab and go type salads, pre-made salads that they can get easily. You don't just have to throw some, you know, tofu in a sixth pan out on their own salad bar. You can actually create some nice crafted salads using all kinds of, you know, local and plant-based stuff. And I think that we'll see more of that, you know, and I think there's some other real positives that could, you know, silver linings that can come out of this. Of course, it's absolutely tragic. We can all agree. And we certainly have all been touched, you know, personally by now, I would say, if not, we will be, but there are some silver linings. And in terms of our industry, I think that healthcare or food service workers, particularly in healthcare, but in all walks of life, are going to be looked at a little differently. I mean, they did call them essential workers. And although that might have seemed obvious to, you know, all of us in the field, I think it's cool that now, you know, your average person is potentially can look at us differently. And we may be able to get a little bit more of a positive response when we're asking to try these things. You know, like a hospital administrator now may understand, yeah, you know, we do need to spend some money on paper products because we're doing all of this to go. And we do need to upgrade our kitchen so that we can prepare these things and so forth. And a blast chiller is something we might need now. And, you know, those
Absolutely. Kinds of things. Yeah, we definitely have to focus on the positive that's going to come out of this.
Yeah.
And I think the whole world is going to look a little bit different at some of the things we've done.
And yeah.
Do. And certainly some of the things we didn't need to do, you know, that we don't miss now, you know, that we can shape our lives a little differently. A lot of people are looking at this being home as a little bit of a reset, if you will.
Yeah, I feel it. I feel that way. You know, it definitely has. It's only been, you know, 3 months, I guess, 2-3 months, but it does seem like, you know, I miss everybody. I miss my routine. My routine, like everyone else, has stopped, and then you have time to kind of do another routine. So I've probably had 3 different routine changes while I've been here. In the downtime. And then, but our calendar is shaking up. We're loosening up. We're starting to go out and, you know, continue with some projects we had, and actually have some plenty of new inquiries, and a lot of people are looking to make some process changes. We'll just all have to see, you know, what the financial situation is, but the desire is there, and that's always good.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to ask you one question that I ask when I was a director. I would ask potential employees this question. And I love to ask chefs this question. So
okay. Money, so drum roll.
if money was absolutely no object and you could travel anywhere in a time travel machine, either forward, backward, or quickly, anywhere in the world or other world, where would you like to have dinner? With whom and what would you have?
Oh my gosh. Wow. You were supposed to send me these questions in advance, by the way. Well, geez, you know, I really loved, I've been fortunate enough to go to France a few times, three times, and Spain, and who would I eat with? Absolutely Julia Child. I mean, how cool would that be?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Eating with Julia Child in France would be unbelievable.
That would be great. And she would be all up for splitting bottles of wine as well. So that would be
great. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought she thought bottles of wine were single serve. No? You know, there's so many. I get definitely, you know, being a female in a largely male role, you know, I definitely lean towards the, you know, Alice Waters, that kind of strong lead female chefs.
Yeah.
You know, the chefs that taught, you know, Paul Bocuse and all the famous French chefs were taught by a female. And, you know, just to be in that era and see something like that, you know, coming back from today's age, I think would be remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah, and geez, when people say to me, "What would you like to eat?" I'm like, my answer always is, "What do you do best? What,
yeah.
You know, what food are you most passionate about?" You know, I'll eat just about anything. So, yeah. There's been more than a few times that I've said to someone waiting on our table, you know, "Bring me what you would have," or "What do you think is the best to share?" So. I don't think I could pin it down to one, but I could certainly pin it down to, you know, a couple famous female chefs I'd love to dine with.
Well, that's a great answer. I would hire you.
Oh, cool. Good to know.
Right. It was a great question because I want to know, like, obviously your passion, you know, what I know from that is you're ambitious, you reference and understand the history and the emotional attachment to food and how it can be more important than the dish itself. And the fact that you would ask, you know, your server what they would, you know, not just what they're known for at this restaurant, but what would you have? And mm-hmm. that shows that you would respect your employees and your customers. So yeah, that was a great answer.
Great. Okay. I didn't need to prep for any of this.
So you're definitely hired. HR will be in touch with you.
Super.
Well, thanks for talking to me. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. I appreciate the partnership we have with Nestle and your friendship. And I look forward to things to getting back to the new normal and our paths crossing soon.
Hey, you know, John, the feeling's mutual. We connected with you guys and it was just instant karma and synergy. And we have enjoyed every minute we spend with you guys and can't wait to get back at it for the next good to best.
Awesome. Yes. And you are first on the list when we finally firm that up, and that will be coming, but obviously we're all kind of still in a holding pattern, but we will be back.
We will be back. Better than ever.
Thanks so much.
You bet, John.
All right, talk to you soon. Yeah, bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
She's awesome. Always great talking to Chef Mary. Today we learned that although Nestle, where she is the executive chef, Nestle corporate chef, is a huge company, it's still the people that make the difference and the connections. We learned that she took the long way on her journey, on her culinary journey, and that it was thanks to her sister. And then we also understood that Mary would love to have dinner in either Spain or France with Julia Child or Alice Waters, or another strong culinary influencer. Thanks for listening. Thanks for eavesdropping. Check us out again and eavesdrop with my phone calls. DMNA's podcast. Thanks.